So this morning, I'm going to say a bit about fear and fearlessness. This is another bit of input into this theme of spiritual death that this particular part of the day is covering. And actually, this originally was Suchita's idea, although I said I'd do it. It was her idea. I did think it was a good thing to talk about in this particular slot, because fear is a common obstacle that arises when we're practicing in the arena of spiritual death. So I'm just going to say a little bit about it, perhaps as an aid, something to refer to. So as a general approach, if you're doing any of these reflections that we've done over the past few days on spiritual death, if you're trying them out yourself, and maybe later on today and certainly tomorrow, and fear arises, there's a certain measure of apprehension, discomfort that's you can identify as fear in some way, then a few things to remember. First, the main thing to remember is you are in control. The practice isn't doing you or being done to you. You are doing the practice. So go at your own pace. So that's the first important thing. And if you begin to feel a bit wary in a certain way, then just drop back. Drop back. If your instincts are saying, "Oh, wait a minute, I'm not ready for that, not today anyway," or, don't kind of just be too rough with that. You can sometimes push against that and see what happens. But if it's there, pay attention and drop back. So what you drop back to is you drop back to metta. And to the ground of your own practice. You could even do a bit of earth touching mudra. I mean, actually do it. Actually do it. But the rest of us have got our eyes closed, so you don't need to feel silly doing it. But really do it. It can have a good effect, strengthening effect. So you just drop back to metta, the ground of your practice. If you can drop back to a sort of more calm centeredness in yourself, spaciousness, or just drop back to your breathing. Or you might open your eyes and just reconnect with where you are and who you are. I guess it depends a bit on how strong the fear is. It might not need that. So don't panic and take a break. That's the basic message. So just stop pushing forward into the practice just for a bit. Get back in touch with metta, and then maybe after that you can try moving forward again quite gently. So then what happens is this sort of oscillation backwards and forwards between metta, dropping back into metta, and the particular way that the practice is penetrating the layer of your defences, the boundaries of your bounded self. The practices penetrate that, and then that's why fear arises, because we get frightened that we're all gonna collapse and disappear. So you might find that there's a sort of backwards and forwards move between pushing into that, doing it in a sensitive way, but just pushing and letting the practice penetrate those layers and boundaries of yourself, opening up to that. That's on the one side. On the other side, you just maybe drop back every now and again and just kind of take a break. Go at your own pace with it. So that's a bit of general kind of idea of how to work with it, very generally. But you might ask yourself the question, or we might ask ourselves the question, is it worth tasting the fear if it's there? So when the time is right, yes, it is worth to taste the fear, because when we do that, we're in contact with with the ego, and the views and those Atma kleshas. Remember we talked about Atma kleshas the other day. When you taste the fear, you're in contact with all of that, views and disturbing emotions that are part of us and that bind us and that stop us just, you know, trusting, stepping into that more flowing self that we've been exploring. So the Atma Klesha, if you remember, were opinions about self, stupidness about self, pride of self, and sneha, Gollum, attachment, self-love in that attached, clinging kind of way, like it's mine, it's my precious. So it is worth tasting the fear, but do it in your own time and at the right moment, and drop back if you need to.